Welcome to the Faith Lighthouse Church Message of the Week. We hope that you enjoy this teaching. For more information about this message and other resources, visit mylighthouse.church.
Again, I'm so glad that you're with us today, that you're here. We're beginning a brand new series called Head and Heart. And over the next couple of weeks, we're going to explore the idea of this. And I always love the first week of a series, although it's a little bit challenging, I'll say, because I want to put everything together in the first week. But it's not. We're going to go over the next 4 weeks just looking at this idea and the importance of our minds and our hearts, the importance of unity within our minds and our hearts and our emotions within Christianity. So I hope that you're here over the next several weeks as we explore this topic, explore the ideas behind this. If you want to turn in your Bibles, you can. We'll have it up on the screen, but if you've got it, want to open up your phone or your Bible, you can, to Mark chapter 12. Probably a familiar passage to you, Mark chapter 12, around verse 30, and we'll get there in just a moment. But you know, I want to ask, you know, are you a person? Maybe your spouse can help you with this. Are you a person that says, I think, or a person that says, I feel? I think, or I feel. When you're in conversation, when you're discussing something with another person, maybe it is your husband or wife or whatever it may be, but you say, I think, followed by an explanation, or I feel, followed by. And you may say, this is what I say in your husband or wife's one, Ask your husband or wife. They'll be the ones that are able to tell you which one of those that you say. I think or I feel. Now, there's a difference between the two, right? There's a difference between the two. The two statements, one is I think, is meaning you're processing information. That you've received information one way or the other. You've read it, you've heard it from somebody, you're processing it through, and then you think, followed by your conclusion or what you have surmised or the best that you can come up with given the information. I think, followed by whatever it may be. When you say, I feel, that means there's an emotion attached to it, right? I feel means that there's been something of an emotion, that something good has happened to you or something bad, or it could even be something neutral, but there's an emotion tied into that, that whether you feel good or I feel bad. Maybe you haven't really given a whole lot of thought to either one of these. Maybe this is something that you've never really considered. I don't know if I say one of these statements, or one or the other. But both of these statements and both of what we're discussing today factor into our relationship and our walk with Christ. And so I want to take a look again at Mark chapter 12, verse 30. It says, love the Lord your God, and this is Jesus speaking, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Now again, this is in a couple different Gospels, and so you may be familiar with it with just a little bit different phrasing, but all of it's generally the same. And Jesus is speaking after he's being questioned, what is the greatest commandment? Again, the Pharisees are always trying to trap Jesus and he has a phenomenal way of getting outside of it and not getting trapped and turning the tables back on them because they're always trying to trap him in. And so he's quoting from Deuteronomy, what we know as Deuteronomy, their question. He goes back to the Old Testament. When they're trying to trap him and trap him in what is the greatest commandment, he actually uses part of it to turn the tables on them. Now we see here that the word mind used here goes beyond just finding a right answer to a question. When he uses the word mind, it's not just find the answer to the question. It's something deeper. It has a deeper understanding, meaning that you have thought through this, that you've taken time, maybe you've meditated, you have considered, not just, hey, one plus one equals two. Well, I know that in my mind, but something deeper, that there has been something you've been exposed to, a question, and that you've taken some time to really think this through, to consider the answer. And may I submit that we would probably be better off if we spend more time thinking and considering things rather than just rushing to a conclusion, especially in the world that we live in with social media and all the stuff that's out there, that we just hear something one time and then boom, it's truth. I think we would be better served as human beings in our society and even as believers if we thought through things a little bit deeper. That we came to a conclusion after we spent time to think about it. Now, the term mind, again, is something deeper, a deeper way of thinking. And then the term heart. Again, this is not the beating muscle inside of our chest. The heart is something that describes our affections, our innermost being. Now, the Old Testament didn't differentiate between the two, between the thinking and feeling, that it was all tied in together. There isn't a word to use our mind and feeling, thinking with our mind and feeling with our heart. The heart is the center of the person. Again, not the beating of our heart, although that is kind of in the middle of us. But our heart is the centermost who we are, our feelings, our passions, even our thoughts, our intellect. And so what Jesus is saying here is that we need to love God with every part of our being, the wholeness of who we are. However, we have a great many of us, not all of us, but I believe some of us, and I'll put myself in that category, sometimes we emphasize one over the other. We emphasize our mind over our emotions, or some people, we put our emotions over our thoughts and our mind, our thinking. Some of us are wired to be thinkers. You may live with a thinker. You may live with a spouse or a child that has to process things through. And you're like, just give me an answer. Hold on, I've got to work through it. I just want an answer. Don't you have to think about it? There's some things that we don't have to. What color shoes am I going to wear today? Just pick a pair of shoes. Come on. But some people are thinkers. They have to, well, if I wear that color with that and that, obviously that's not me. I just pick whatever's there and run with it, okay? But some people, they're thinkers. They have to process things through. There are other people that are more emotional. They wear their emotions on their sleeve. Don't look at anybody. Don't elbow anybody. Some people are more emotional. They wear their emotions on their sleeve. You can tell if they're happy or sad. You can tell if they're in a good mood or a bad mood. There are some people that have never shed a tear in their life. I remember watching a television show. I don't remember what it was. And they were trying to get one of the characters in the show to cry because they said, I've never cried. What do you mean you've never cried? No, I've never cried. And so they showed them pictures of cats and dogs and all these other things and trying to get them to cry to get some emotion. I'm like, no, I've just never cried. There are some people that have never, they just don't do well with emotions. Or that's a bad, I don't mean to say that. It's not they don't do well with emotions. They're just not an emotional person. They don't show their emotions on the outside. And it's not because they weren't taught as kids, don't show your emotion. You know, I know you've probably heard that, or maybe dads, you said that to your sons, don't cry, only sissies cry, or something like that. That's just not healthy. That's not good. It's okay to cry. Now, if you're 13 years old and, you know, come on, suck it up, rub a little dirt on it, you know, come on. But as a little baby, you know, I mean, as a little kid, I mean, I've seen, now that my kids are playing sports and parents that you've had kids in sports, I've seen parents interact with their kids. Like, come on, like the kid's genuinely hurt. Like he can't, like I'd be crying if I was him. Like, come on, suck it up. Oh, okay. You know, I think it's okay to cry. We shouldn't teach our kids not to cry. There are some people, though, that they just don't show. It's not because they weren't taught not to show their emotions. They're just not an emotional person. They don't show their emotions on the outside. They're not wired that way. You see, and it's important that we understand that. But I believe, and through the course of today and the next couple of weeks, laying the foundation for this, that no matter how we're wired, we still need to give God all that we are with our mind and our heart, our emotions. There's nothing wrong with being a thinker. There's nothing wrong with being an emotional person. But God calls us, every believer, every Christ follower, to live a life that is whole and complete, not fragmented. And it can be difficult to navigate the world that we live in. Our culture is not helping. Our culture, I mean, instructs us many times to live compartmentalized. That we do this and we stay in this little compartment and this one and this and this one, that we live fragmented lives. But as believers, we're not to live fragmented lives. We're to live complete and whole lives. Our thinking and feeling should go together. We shouldn't neglect one part over the other. Now, many people think that religion is just about feelings, that it's not rational like science or math. I'm not going to give away the movie, but the premise of the movie that we saw this weekend, Some of you may have not seen it, but I took my kids to the movies the other night as the women were doing their thing in Daytona Beach. Like they went to Daytona Beach for a women's conference. You know, men, they need to up the game here. Like, we got to go, you know, take us somewhere else. Like, you know, they just stick us in a church somewhere. Like, we want to go to the beach or something. Come on. I'm going to talk to the district about that, and because I've got a lot of weight to pull. So anyway, who's this guy? But the idea behind this and taking the kids to the movies was, you know, spend time. Mom's away, so let's go out and let's watch a movie. So we watched the movie. It's called Smallfoot. Some of you may have taken your kids to it or seen about it, heard about it. I hadn't heard much about the movie. It was a kid-friendly movie, which is very hard to find to be able to take your kids to and not, you know, cover your eyes, cover your ears, whatever the case may be. And there wasn't anything wrong with the movie inherently, but there was part of the movie that really I began to question and go, this really seems like it's bashing religion. I began to think, why am I thinking this? And I began to think, because it had some similarities that through religion and organized religion, you shouldn't be able to think or question. That what somebody, the leader, the pastor says, you just take it as truth, and you can never question anything that is spoken. I have a little bit of a problem with that, because I believe God has created us to be thinkers. I believe that God wants us to ask questions. I don't believe that God created us with a mind and just to go to church and not think or not be able to ask questions. The other day, I mean, there are things that we just don't fully understand. And God doesn't just want us, and this is part of the movie, don't ask questions, just press them down. And I unfortunately, I believe there are churches and there are religions that are that way, but that I don't subscribe to that theory. I believe that we should ask questions. There are times that I read through God's word and I go, God, help me out, because I don't get it. And that's when I have to dig in. I have to study. I have to find out, is there more to the story that I'm missing? Is there cultural aspects? Are there words that didn't translate? And that's when it takes me digging in, understanding more, but asking questions. It is okay to ask questions. It is okay to use our minds. But many people try to say religion or Christianity, whatever, is, well, you don't use your minds. It's not rational thinking. No, God created us with minds and we should use them. Part of the problem is this. If we're not using all that God has given to us, it's like this. Is that going to go very far? Well, maybe you don't want me to ride like this, trust me. Do not put that on Instagram. I know that. That's why I hopped off. But this bike was designed to have another wheel to function properly. That without this other wheel, it's not going very far. When you put the other wheel to it, that's when you can get a little kid, not me, to ride it and do its job. It is not doing what it was fully created to do. It's fragmented. It's pieced together. I'm going to trip over that. I'm going to sip it over here. There we go. But part of the problem is that's how we see, that's how we as Christians live. That we either were more thinkers or we're more emotional. But we don't put the two together. But God has designed us to be whole. That we don't live fragmented lives. That we use our minds and our hearts, our emotions, to follow God and to worship God. See, we are called to love God. What does Jesus say? We are called to love God with every fiber of our being. Love God with all we are, not just part of it, not just a fraction of it, but all we are, our hearts, our minds, every part of us. And it starts by knowing His Word. It starts by using our minds and understanding Him through His Word. By reading His Word, studying His Word, you worship God every time you pick up this book. Every time you open it and read the pages, you are worshiping God. You are spending time in His presence, reading His Word. You are worshiping Him. You're understanding more about Him. Some people don't realize they're worshiping God when they're reading the Bible. They are. The Holy Spirit is moving on the inside. I don't know if you remember this, But when you had a TV before, you know, cable and things like that, you'd have an antenna on the TV, right? Not like the antennas they have. You can put an antenna on a TV right now and pick up like 50 channels. Like, when did that happen? Like, when I was a kid, we had a TV, you put an antenna on it, and you got 3 channels, maybe 4 if it was a good day. You got the local, you know, the news stations, and then maybe one other channel, depending upon if you had to do this, because I had to do this, you had to stick it in the back of the TV, and you have to hold the antenna up and, like, move. Like, no, stay right there. Oh, we got an antenna. Now I got to stand like that. Yeah, you got to stand like that for the next 30 minutes until the show's over. Come on, who did that? I had to do that. Or on the TV, when the TVs had knobs, they don't have knobs, they just got buttons that you can't find half the time. When the TVs had knobs and the picture was fuzzy, you had to like turn it one way or the other, and then, oh, finally, good picture, and you get it for like 5 minutes, and then it would go out and you have to readjust the knob. Many times in our lives, that's what we do. When we're reading God's word, we don't have a full understanding of God, but when we read his word, we're tuning into who he is. We're understanding. There are many people that have an idea of God. They've heard of God, they've been to church, or they've heard about God from somebody else, but that's a blurry picture. That's turning on the TV, and I kind of see a picture there, but it's still staticky. But when you pick up God's word and you read, that's when you're adjusting in and you're getting the clear picture of God. But it takes you doing something. It takes you reading his word to think, to study, to understand who he is. To understand the fullness of God takes us studying his word and reading his word, understanding who he is, and understanding who we are in him. When we read and study God's word, it helps us understand and think about who we are. And it helps us understand what is important in this world and what's not important. There are so many things that are just not worth our time, but yet we spend time on it. When we open up God's word and we study, we use our mind to dive deeper, we understand, you know what? This is something I should value. This is something I should not value. This is true. This is not true. See, when we focus on our mind and on the things that are true, it grows our knowledge of God. We need to use our minds. There are a great number of people that have studied God's word that are tremendous theologians. When I was at Southeastern, I was just blown away by some of the professors that I had the privilege of being in their class. And just like, how in the world do they know so much? Like, they know more than about a subject than I will know in my lifetime. And that is great. And there are people that are far beyond their biblical knowledge and all of those things, and that is wonderful. And I used to compare myself, God, I'm never going to be like them. No, I'm not, but every day I strive to know more about God, to spend time and read his word, understand who he is. But we cannot just know about God. We have to put that knowledge into practice. There are a great number of people that know a whole lot about God, but never do anything with it. Well, then what good is that? If you know about God, but never put it into practice, then what have you done? You've kind of wasted your time. Knowing about God means now this information I have, now I take it and I share it. I do something with it. God doesn't want us just to be hearers or readers of the word, but doers of the word. He doesn't want us just to worship him with our mind, but we've got to do something with it. We have to worship God with our minds by reading and thinking and contemplating the deeper things of God. That is a good thing. But if we're only doing that, this is what we become. A bike that isn't going anywhere. We're only using a portion of what God has given to us. See, missionaries that go around the world, they don't just go in and just plop down into a country and go, hey, here I am to tell you about Jesus. What they do is they study the culture. They understand where they're going. So then when they get there, they know this is a plan of action. They have taken time. They have used their minds to think through the process. How am I going to reach them? They spent time in communication with God and the Holy Spirit to make a plan how to reach the culture. What if we did the same thing? What if we used our minds to understand who God is, but then go a step further? To understand the people that we work with. To understand the people that God has put in our place. What are things that they're struggling with? What are things that they're going through? What if we spent time and thought about them instead of just thinking about ourselves? But what are they going through? How can I pray for them? How can I speak into their lives? That takes using our minds. using the knowledge that God has given to us and then putting it into practice. You may not be somebody who enjoys reading. There are many people that I have talked to. I just don't do well with reading. It takes me a long time. It takes me, you know, I have to read and read and read. And so it's a struggle to read through the Bible. Don't let that keep you from knowing more about God, because there's so much more for you to understand. And if it takes you longer than anybody else, that's fine. Read that same verse, read that same chapter until you understand who God is and what he's trying to speak to you. The goal isn't to just read and read and read, but the goal should be to expand our mind, to think, to contemplate. What is God speaking to me? What is this word speaking to me? And then how can I apply it in my life? And how can I speak it into the lives of others? The goal is to be a well-rounded believer, to worship God with all we are. Loving God with our mind starts with spending time in his word. Means loving God with our heart is next. How do we do that? How do we love God with our heart? How do we love God with our emotions? How do we love God with how we feel? You see, if you're an emotional person, not hard. You do it all the time. You feel, you worship God, and how you feel, it's easy to do. You respond out of God's joy and happiness, and even sadness, that you feel a heaviness, and you can feel the emotion of it, that you worship God with your hearts, and you're not holding anything back. But sometimes we can let our emotions get the best of us. Someone once said, Our emotions are gauges, not guides. Your emotions are not the boss. Your emotions are the reports to the boss. Your emotions should not dictate how you live your life. Your emotions should not control you. If you feel good, then all your relationship with God is good. If you're feeling bad, then God hates me. That you're living by your emotions. How you feel is dictating your walk with God. That is not what we should do. And if you're an emotional person, you're probably going, I know exactly. You don't have to raise your hands. But that's probably a world that you live in. I feel good, so me and God are good. I feel bad, so me and God are not good. Again, your emotions are not the boss. We cannot live by our emotions. But it is good to be excited about the things of God. It's okay to be moved to tears. It's okay to respond out of sadness. God gave us emotions for a reason. We should use them. Just like God gave us a mind, we should use our emotions. Don't be afraid to use your emotions. Don't be afraid to show when you're happy. Don't be afraid to show when you're sad. When God is moving to respond out of that emotion. God gave us all of these emotions, and we should not bottle them up inside. Emotions, however, do not authenticate truth. Let me say that again. Emotions do not authenticate truth, but they can authenticate our understanding of the truth. They can authenticate our understanding of truth. How do I explain this? Just because you feel overwhelmed by the love of God does not mean that you can share that with somebody else. You can't share that truth with somebody. Oh, I'm just so overwhelmed by what God is doing. Well, what does that mean? You may be talking to a person who's not really an emotional person. They're more of a thinker. How can you explain to somebody who is not an emotional person that you feel overwhelmed by God? How do you feel overwhelmed by God's love? Well, it's just this rushing wave over me. But emotions can authenticate the truth that we have, that we have found in God, that we can understand that the truth that we have learned and the emotion tied together. Just because your emotion response is, when our emotional response is based off of truth, then we can share that, but we can't share our emotions as facts. We cannot share our emotions as facts. God has given us the ability to not only think, but the ability to feel. And the best way that I can explain this is that when I was beginning my walk with God and I came to my relationship with Christ, I grew up knowing God. Just a little of my story. I grew up knowing God. I knew he loved me. But as a young teenager, I gave my life to Christ, but I wasn't really involved in church and I wasn't reading God's word. I just knew that Jesus died for my sins. And that was, I thought, all I needed to know. And then I wasn't involved in church, and I came back to church in my late teen years, 16, 17 years old, and I began to understand. I was reading my Bible and understanding more about God, and I was in church, and I was worshiping God, and I will never forget this, that I was probably standing in this general area, I think probably about right here, maybe, in this area, and we were worshiping, much like we did today. And the truth of God was just so overwhelmed me that I understand. I was reading God's word. I was in his presence. And we were singing. I don't remember the words to the song. But the truth was real. The truth was there. And I was standing in this spot going, I don't know what to do. It's so overwhelming. God, I know what you're... this is true. My emotions, everything is just working together. And I kid you not, there might be some of you in the room that remember this day. I don't know if there are. But I took off from this spot and ran around this church. You don't have to clap for that. I'll be way out of breath if I do that now. But from that spot, there was truth that I knew. God loved me. That my sins were forgiven, and the response was my emotional response to that truth, that what I'm saying, that Jesus, you have saved me, you have forgiven me. The only way that this can come out is an emotional response, and the only thing that I can do is run. I don't know why I ran, but I did. And after I did, I went, why did I do that? I went from right there to over here in a heap going, oh, I hope nobody saw that. I was full of joy and emotion and all those things. And then I'm going, oh my gosh, what did I just do? They're going to think that I am, what did he do last night that he needs? But it was an emotional truth. It was something that there. I knew the truth, and my emotions responded to that truth. And there was no other way for it to get out but to respond in that by emotionally doing something. See, again, not to live fragmented lives. We cannot live just by our emotions. We should not just be emotional people. That if we come to church and, well, I just didn't feel it today, so God must not have been there. No, God's here. God's always here. But God moves differently every week. God may not move like he did this morning every single Sunday. You know what? That's fine. And if he does, that's fine too. The point of it is that we can express the truth in emotional ways. That we shouldn't just bottle up our emotions, but to express them because of the truth and the knowledge of what this word says. And what does Jesus say? That we should love God with all we are. Not just part, not just a fraction of it, but all we are. So if you would bow your heads this morning. Are you fragmenting your relationship with God? Are you more of a thinker, or are you more emotional? Are you a person that says, I think, or a person that says, I feel? I want to challenge you in the next few moments that no matter what category you may find yourself in, to dig deeper in either one of the areas that you may not feel so strong in. Maybe you're like, I'm not really much of a thinker. It's hard for me to sit down and read God's word or to read anything other than the Bible. But I want to encourage you to expand your mind, to contemplate the things of God. He wants you to use your mind. He wants you to worship you with all of yourself, not just part of yourself. Not just with your emotions, but with your mind as well. So that means this week, you take some time and say, God, I'm gonna give you 15, 20 minutes out of my day, and I'm just gonna think. I'm gonna read a verse, and I just want to meditate on that. To ask questions and allow the Holy Spirit to respond. And not just go off of your emotions. And if you are an emotional person, if you're a thinker, and I process through and I think I'm really not a touchy-feely emotional person, there is nothing wrong with you, and there's nothing wrong with that. Please, I don't want anybody in here today go, well, I'm half a person. That is not true. You are wired exactly how God designed you. But maybe God is challenging you to step into something that doesn't make sense. That maybe you are a thinker and 1 + 1 = 2. And when you throw emotions in the middle, well, then that doesn't equal 1 + 1 = 2. but to be okay with that. Say, God, I want to worship you with all that I am, with my mind and my heart, with my emotions, every part of my being. That doesn't mean that you're going to run around a church. That doesn't mean that you're going to respond how other people have responded. It simply means this, that you're saying, God, I want to respond how you've designed me to. And that I want to respond maybe outside of my comfort zone a little bit. That maybe you're wanting to stretch me. That I don't want to be like that bicycle and be fragmented. I want to be whole. I want to worship you with all that I am. Make that your prayer today. Say, Holy Spirit, I want to worship you with all that I am, with all my heart, with all my mind, with every part of me. I want to worship you with every fiber of my being, how you've created me. God, I thank you so much that you have given us our emotions, that you've given us the ability to think, that you've created us just as we are. We give you all of ourselves, every part of our being. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Thanks for listening to the message of the week. If you've enjoyed this teaching, would you consider a gift to support the ministry of FLC? Visit mylighthouse.church/give. Faith Lighthouse Church is located at 3409 Paul Buckman Highway in Plant City, Florida. Our weekly worship services are held on Sundays at 11 a.m. We also have various life groups and programs for all ages that meet throughout the week. We'd love for you to be a part of what God is doing in Plant City.